Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Church Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we invite you to attend a Sunday service, 9 or 11 a.m., or visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for this week's message from Pastor Mike Gowans.
We're going to continue our series in Step today, and today's title is I Doubt It. And before I doubt anything, let me tell you something I don't doubt, okay? I don't doubt how amazing my mom is. My mom hasn't been here in a while, and she's here with us this week and here for our second service. If it wasn't for my mom, I don't know if I would have found Jesus. She brought me to a small Bible study when I was young, where I gave my heart to Jesus. And then I don't know that I'd be here today preaching as a pastor if it wasn't for my mom's prayers. Because even after I gave my life to Jesus, I ran from my calling. I ran from serving Jesus. But how many of you know you can't outrun your mom's prayers? And I am proof of it, so don't doubt it. If you're running from Jesus this morning and you're here or you're watching online, you're not doing a very good job running, okay? But stop running. Just stop it and surrender and follow him, because he has a better life for you than you could ever plan. Amen? And that I don't doubt. Amen? Do I have any others that believe that this morning? Amen? So, Mom, you're amazing. Will you get up for my mom? She's awesome. Thank you, Mom. So, if you have something you want on your prayer list, or rather, if you have something you want God to answer the prayer of, come talk to my mom, get on her prayer list, and it'll happen. Okay, so John chapter 20, that's where we'll begin today. John chapter 20, verse 24. John chapter 20, verse 24, for all the men who need to hear it twice. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. And so he said to them, pay no attention to the man behind the screen dropping things. He said to them, unless I see his hands, the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst. He said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach out your finger here. Look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord, my God. And Jesus said to Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen me, yet have believed. Let's pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you that you've opened our eyes and ears. And if there be anybody here that has not seen or heard about you and put their faith and trust in you, Jesus, I pray that you'd open up their spiritual eyes to see and their ears to hear about your love and your plan for them. Jesus, I ask that you would do what only you can do. Bring new life. Make all things new. Make things new again today in our lives. Holy Spirit, open our eyes to more revelation of how awesome God is, how awesome Jesus is, how awesome the Father is. Holy Spirit, that we'd know your voice and know that you're our comforter, that you're with us wherever we go to counsel us, to care for us, to tell us what the Father is really saying. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. And all God's people say, amen. Amen and amen. Well, Matthew chapter 28, many of you read that today or are going to read it. And over the last couple of weeks, I saw something that I don't know that I ever saw before as we were preparing for this series and this message in Matthew 28, verse 16 and 17. And this is right before Jesus gives the Great Commission and most likely before he ascends to heaven. And it says in verse 16, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted." When they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Amongst those who were worshiping Jesus, there was doubt. I never saw that. Or I just skipped over it to get to the Great Commission, to what I thought was the most important. But I think this is really liberating and really important to see. There were those that saw Jesus and worshiped Jesus, but they doubted. They doubted. They had doubts. You know, I've tried to run from doubts and pretend like I didn't have doubts for many years because I just thought doubts are bad. But doubts aren't bad. Doubts aren't bad. They're not. And I hope you're going to be liberated today because some of you have felt guilt and condemnation and even shame because you've had doubts. And I want to free you today. I want to free you to have doubts. Have your doubts. But just don't let your doubts determine what you believe. See, you can believe and worship and still have doubts. It's possible. You're going to see it today. And it's not that doubts are sin. It's unbelief that's sin. And unbelief and doubts, they seem to be very similar, but they're not. I mean, there's some similarities, yes. But there's a big difference. Unbelief is a willing choice to say. A willing, rebellious choice of saying, I will not believe. I will not believe. But doubt is, I believe it, I have doubts. I believe it, I don't get it. Right? And so God can handle your doubts. That's great. And your doubts do not have to keep you from fulfilling the destiny that God has for you. In fact, you really wouldn't need faith if you didn't have doubt. Okay? Like if there were no doubts, you really don't need faith. But faith is believing even when you have doubts. Listen to this story in Matthew chapter 21, verse 28. "But what do you think," Jesus says, "a man has two sons. And he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward, he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said, 'Likewise.' And he answered and said, 'I'll go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said to him, "The first." And Jesus said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not receive him. But tax collectors and harlots believed me. And when they saw it, you did not afterwards relent or repent and believe him." Oswald Chambers, incredible author, got one of the best devotionals you could read. I read it for years as a young believer, much of which I needed a dictionary to try to understand. And he just had some real deep stuff. And but is both for young and old. And even though things are seem to be deep or maybe sometimes over your head, stick in there. Don't quit. Things might be over your head, but they are within your reach. Okay? It may stretch you. You may have to reach up. But I'll tell you, if you keep reaching, you'll get there. Amen? Amen? And so here's a quote on doubt that Oswald Chambers has. It says, "Doubt is not always a sign that a man is wrong. It may be a sign that he's thinking." He's thinking. See, sometimes you believe, you trust, you commit, and you even obey. But you're thinking about what you're doing. And when you think about what you're doing, there should be all kinds of doubts, okay? I mean, just like in worship, I had doubts just moments ago. Doubts of, will I preach as well as I did in the first service? Because I preached amazing, okay? And if you were there, you know it. Can I get an amen? No. Yeah, so all right, there we go. So there's the testimony of so many.
Do it again.
But here's the why. Why do I have doubts? I just did it. Because it wasn't me that did it. See, if I had memorized and I had performed my sermon last message, and it was like I have it down word by word, and all I have to do is deliver and execute like this, because it's so memorized, I so got it, I got the script, and I know what I'm going to do here, and I'm going to spin right there in that move, and I'm going to pause, and I'm going to wait, and you're going to think about it, and I already know what you're going to do, right? Because I know humankind, and I know how to manipulate you. Then I wouldn't have doubts. Why would I doubt? I just did it before. But the reason I have doubts is because I didn't do it. Now I was involved, and any part of the sermon that wasn't good, that was totally me. Okay? But anything that was really good, really anointed, and really was life-changing, that was the Holy Ghost through me.
Amen.
So my doubts only give me an opportunity to allow my faith to work through them. So your doubts don't disqualify you. Actually, they just show that you're living by faith. Because if you got no doubts, then it's just like, I got this. I got this. This is me. I've done it before. I know what's going to happen. You know, all the motivational speakers and all that, they know how to spin a crowd. They know what's going to make them laugh. Okay? I mean, there's jokes that, you know, I just know, here's the punch. They're going to hit it. Going to hit this. People are going to laugh. But when you have ingredients of a message or you have ingredients of a life that you're like, if God don't show up, I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, there's doubts. There's doubts because you don't know how God's going to show up and when he's going to show up. But that doesn't mean you don't have total faith that God will work all things out for good. Amen? It's exactly why you need faith. It's exactly why I need faith. So if you have doubts, good. So do I. And if you knew the list of doubts I had, you may not be super confident in me. But I don't want you to be confident in me. I want you to be confident in God in me. And here's the thing. The greater the risk, the greater the calling, the greater the doubts. Man, don't I wish that I would have less doubts next year. But guess what? I'm probably going to have more. Not the same doubts. Maybe some of the same. But doubts don't disqualify you. Doubts aren't sin. It's only when you disobey because of your doubts that become sin. In fact, when you have all kinds of doubts and you obey, that's what's courageous. See, you can't even be courageous. When Joshua was told, be strong and courageous, be bold, be strong and courageous, that was because Moses is gone. You're now the leader. And you're going into the promised land against some giants. And if God doesn't come through, you're dead. So be courageous, because there's giants in the land that could crush you. But walk by faith and not by sight. Amen? If the Holy Spirit allows me in this service, I'll share some more of my doubts that hopefully will bring comfort to you. Why is it that some of you, when you read the Bible and it says they worship Jesus and they doubted, that makes you feel good? They saw actually Jesus and they doubted. Like when I get vulnerable, right, and transparent sometimes and tell you my junk, you're like, oh, I love it when you do that, Pastor. Like, it's just awesome when you tell me all of your problems and mistakes and failures. I'm like, I feel good. What's wrong with you? I mean, what's wrong with us in that, right? I mean, we've got the Bible just full of. I don't know. I just bent on the side. Like, I'm like, David, why couldn't you be better? You're so stinking loser, okay? Like, but yeah, he's a winner. But guess what? David's not the hero. Yeah. Jesus is the hero. Yes. Jesus is the hero of the story. Amen? Amen? But, so there might be more comforting, vulnerable stories that I tell later of how I doubt so much. So for those who love that, just know it could come if the Holy Spirit allows. But where we're going now is in John chapter 11, verse 8. And Thomas, Doubting Thomas, right? Who gave him Doubting Thomas' name? Like, who gave him that name, Doubting Thomas? Jesus didn't. We did. We do. Commentaries do. Headings do. Not Jesus. Jesus doesn't define us on our failures or our weaknesses. In fact, doubting reveals a weakness, but here's the good news. Though you may be weak, it's in your weakness that God will make you strong. That's right. So yes, I got doubts because I got weaknesses. But I don't have to give in to my weakness or doubt. I can surrender them to God and he makes me strong. That's some good news, you guys. That's amazing. That should liberate you going, oh my goodness, all these years I felt so guilty, so shameful, so condemned because I've had so many doubts. Here at Bethel, bring your doubts. Let us reason together. Let us talk about those doubts. We're not going to shame you. We're not going to guilt you. We're not going to condemn you. Because Jesus doesn't. It's okay. What's amazing is that Thomas may be now, in my eyes, as I've done some research, the top three, maybe top four of the disciples. When Jesus tells the disciples on the way to Bethany, where Lazarus was dead, here in John chapter 11. Here, follow me. We're not going to read the whole thing, but it says, verse 8, the disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you are going there again? Like, hello, why are we going this way? Because Lazarus is asleep. And then they're like, well, okay, well, he'll wake up. Why are we going there? Guys, Lazarus is dead, and I'm going to raise him from the dead. That's why we're going there. Got it? And this is Thomas's response, okay? This is Thomas's response, okay? Then Thomas, who was called the twin, said to the fellow disciples, well, let's also go that we may die with him. Okay, I mean, you definitely see doubt again, right? Thomas doubting, like, okay, great. Let's go die, right? I mean, which was a possibility. It was a possibility, but here's the thing. He went anyways. Yeah. Why? Because these are the 3 points. If you haven't taken notes so far, man, I'm not going to shame you. But get your pen out. Because I got some scriptures you need to write down and you need to go back to. Because I know we all battle doubt. And these 3 things help us get through our doubt. Okay? And it is what we have to do. It's not necessarily something we conquer. It's something we get through. We get through our doubts. Number one, trust. Thomas trusted Jesus. Okay, we could die. Hey guys, we might die. Let's go. He trusted him. He said yes to Jesus. Number two, he was committed. Thomas was committed. He was committed to Jesus. Even with his doubt, Jesus had his yes. And number three, Thomas obeyed Jesus. He obeyed him. Thomas may very well be, according to tradition and history, the apostle, the disciple that took the gospel the furthest distance. History has it that Thomas took the gospel to India, where he was martyred. And he was killed with a spear to his stomach. Now, here's the thing. Thomas may have had doubts all the way to India. He might have even had doubts as they're about to kill him. But his doubts did not disqualify him. His doubts did not cause him to disobey. But he trusted Jesus. He said yes to Jesus. And he obeyed Jesus. Yes, Thomas doubted the other disciples when they said he rose from the dead. Okay? He doubted. He was like, man, you guys saw something. I got to see it with my own eyes. He had doubts. But guess what? The fact that he was there 8 days later showed that what? He trusted Jesus. He was committed to Jesus. And he also obeyed Jesus. And guess what? Because he was with other believers, he got to see Jesus. He got to see him. Church, this is why assembling together is so important. Is because when we come together, there's a special manifestation of Jesus that happens. When two or more are gathering in his name, when we come together and we praise him and he inhabits the praises of his people, Jesus tells us through Hebrews, do not forsake the assembly of believers. Do not forsake it, okay? You can't have church by yourself. You can meet with Jesus. But Jesus is coming back for the bride. The bride is not a person. You're a part of the bride. You're a part of the body. And when a part of the body is not a part of the body, it can't function the way it was created to. You'll never fulfill your destiny apart from the body. Will not happen. So you got to be connected. And Thomas, because he was connected, He got to see Jesus. He got to see him. Thomas died AD 72 in India, trusting, committed, and obeying, overcoming his doubts, even up to the end. Psalm 23:4. It's an amazing psalm, but there's a verse 4 here that I hope to shine even more light on. It says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." You have to make a choice not to fear evil. Why? Because you're walking through a valley that you could die. Do you think there's some doubts when you walk through a valley?
Yes.
Absolutely. And you should have some doubts. Because you could die. So, even though you walk through a valley of the shadow of doubts, fear no evil. And guess what? Walk. Walk. Don't camp out. Don't freeze. Keep moving.
So good.
Keep going. Keep trusting. Keep saying yes to Jesus. Keep obeying him through your doubts.
Yes.
As you're thinking about. And I calculate often the risks of what God's calling me to do. Man, when God calls me to jump off a cliff without a parachute, guess what I do have on my back? Even though I don't have a parachute, I have a bag full of doubts. But that bag doesn't keep me from jumping. In fact, the doubts are only going to get out after I jump. After I jump. That's the only way to eliminate those doubts, is to obey, is to go forward. Now, you know, I've been on this big walking kick, right? I'm going to give you some more encouragement to become like Kevin Walker. We should all be walkers, okay? Walk. Now, I undervalued walking as a former athlete. Yes, and I did say former athlete, okay? I did not think walking was very useful. But it is super useful. Because if you're not moving, you're dying. You need to move. And I highly encourage when you get out of bed, don't hit snooze 3 times, okay? And I know I'm telling you this with planks in my own eyes because I have occasionally hit snooze. Even this morning, I hit it once, okay? Let me confess, all right? But as soon as you get out and you go scrape your tongue, which you should all have a tongue scraper, okay? Because God doesn't want you talking to him with your foul mouth, okay? Get your shoes on and go walk. Get out in that early morning sunshine and walk. Let your eyes see the light. Don't put sunglasses on, okay? No, you don't have to be cool. Nobody's going to see you anyway, okay? Go walk. Even with your crazy hair, go walk. Go walk with Jesus. Listen to the audio Bible. Just talk with him, pray with him, and walk. Go move. Then get back, get ready, go do what you got to do. Then, after every big meal, after about 10, 15 minutes after, Monique, right? 10, 15 minutes, get out and walk. Super healthy. It'll fight diabetes. It'll fight blood, fat, collect it. Super healthy benefits to it. Go do it, please. You don't even have to consult your doctor, okay? On this one. Like other things, I always tell you, consult your doctor, but I'm super confident the doctor's not going to say don't walk, okay? and it's dangerous for your life, okay? Like, walk, move forward. They have found even the act of walking forward releases anxiety, worry, fear, depression. Just walk, move forward. The act of moving forward, which is the act of faith. Faith is not shrinking back. Hebrews 11, we're not of those who shrink back. We're of those who press forward. And we're not those who are shipwrecked with our faith. We're moving. We're moving forward. Amen? We're moving forward. And sometimes you got to do one of these spin moves, okay? As you're moving forward, because they're devils, right? That want to hit you. And now that was... Do you want to see? Okay, so it's got to be fluid. And at first, you might look a little awkward, but just keep going, keep moving, and you'll get it down. Number one, or actually, before I get to my message, that was my introduction. Some of you don't doubt that. The strongest faith isn't a faith that never doubts. The strongest faith is a faith that grows through your doubts. The more doubts you have, the more weight you're pressing. I mean, the larger we get as a church, the more locations and the more crusades and the more mission trips and the more ministry callings that God puts on me, the more doubts I have. I wish it was the opposite. Don't you, Pastor Cruz? Like the bigger and the calling and all of this, it gets like just less doubts. Let me share a doubt. We're all about relationship. We're about covenant relationship. We're about walking out life. We have over 20 years. Pastor Preston and I have been walking 20 years. Who's preaching at our other campus. Okay? 20 years. And about, 8, maybe 10 years ago, he was still single. And there were doubts that he was going to be able to find his wife in our church. Okay? There were some doubts, and so I had a conversation with him. I go, Preston, do you want me to help you get a job at this church that had a lot of beautiful single women, okay? I'll just put it plainly, that love Jesus. He's like, no way. This is my house. This is my family. And this church is going to be at my wedding. Okay. Now, were there any doubts for him? Maybe. But what he said wasn't full of doubt. It was full of faith. He spoke what he believed. Were there doubts every Sunday when there was nobody there that could be a possibility for him to marry? Sure, certainly. I had doubts. But then suddenly, the Nigerian queen joins the church and then became possibilities. But, you know, I don't doubt. I'm so secure in the fact that Preston and I are brothers no matter what. I don't doubt that. But I do doubt people come in, they become members. This is the greatest place ever. My life has been changed. They got sometimes saved here. Now, I have less doubts if you actually get saved here that you'll flake out and leave. Okay? Because that usually doesn't happen that often. But those that find this church and go, this is the greatest church since sliced bread, and you know, my life's changed here, you're the greatest pastor, I've never heard anybody preach like you, and I go, well, just come a second week, okay? I'll fix that, okay? But literally people have said, older people that have joined in the past said, Pastor, I'm going to be here, you're going to bury me one day. And you know, they're not here today. And they didn't move. They just left the church. Because many people are just one offense away from leaving this church. This is why I try to offend you every Sunday, to try to get it over with, okay? Just get offended already and let me see if you're going to leave. No, I do. I mean, and some will. Not because I doubt, but just because people have issues. People get hurt. And it hurts. I don't want it to hurt. The only way that I can make it not hurt is choose not to have relationship. But that's kind of hard when you put "we're all about relationship" on the wall. Right? Like, it's like... But that doesn't stop me from moving forward in faith, being committed to relationship. Being committed to you, whether you are uncommitted to me. Your unfaithfulness, your flakiness will not determine my faith. And nor does it you. Yeah, people are flaky. We can all be flaky. We can all do dumb things, right? But our trust isn't in Pastor Mike. I'm not asking you to put your trust in me. I'm asking you to put your trust in the Jesus in me. That's what I put my trust in, is not in you, is in the Jesus in you. And the more Jesus in you, the more character you have, which makes it even easier to believe and trust you. Are you with me? So don't put your trust in me, put your trust in the Jesus in me. Okay, so number one, and I'm going to give you several scriptures for the two of you who are actually taking notes, okay? And influence everybody else around you to take notes. Write these scriptures down, because we're going to fly through these, because I'm beginning to wrap this up, this message, okay, as I'm just beginning the message with my points. So here we go. Point number one, trust. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Trust him. He'll direct your steps. Trust him. Romans 15, 13. Now, not tomorrow, not yesterday, now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 56, 3. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. You know, sometimes your doubts can bring fear, right? Well, whenever you're afraid, put your trust in Jesus. Put your trust in him. When you have doubts, trust anyway. Trust. Psalm 62:8, trust in the Lord at all times. You people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for you. Pour out your heart. Pour out your doubts. Pour it out. Because you don't want to keep it in here. This is where it'll kill you. This is where you will actually choose the wrong things, because you're not pouring it out. David was amazing at it. I'm getting better. You know, I just chose, I'm not going to doubt, I'm not going to doubt, I'm not going to doubt. Instead, just this is my what I'm doubting. And some of you go, well, I don't want to speak my doubts because I don't want the devil to know when I'm doubting. Listen, whether the devil can actually read your mind or know your thoughts or not, he knows what you're thinking based on how you're reacting. Right. He's been studying human history forever. Right. He knows what you're doubting. Yeah. So don't be afraid to verbalize those doubts to God. Confess them. Right. Did that keep Thomas from seeing Jesus because he confessed his doubts? No, it didn't. And Bethel, we are going to be a place that it's safe for people to express their doubts. That they can share their doubts. We're not going to shame them, guilt them. We're going to let them share them, get them out, and then we're going to tell them what's true. God is your refuge. Psalm 28, 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him. and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices. With my song, I will praise him. Number two, commit. Give your yes to Jesus. Say yes. Come on, just say yes. Say, Jesus, yes. Jesus, yes. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembly of others together, as it is in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Okay, the writer of Hebrews right here is saying, look, there are Christians that are not meeting. They're not coming to church. In the first century, this is happening. And he is saying, don't be like them. Especially as the day is approaching. Okay, now I don't know when Jesus is coming back, but it's much sooner than it was back then. And if back then they were telling Christians, do not meet together. Do not assemble with the elders and the pastors, okay? Where you have to submit, okay? You can't submit to elders if you're not with them. In fact, you just show not being with them, you're not submitted because you're not coming. And those that you know, one of the things we ask is like, if you're going to be a member of this church and part of this body, come to church. Hello? I mean, why would you? I mean, it's like all the gyms. They don't want you to come to the gym. They're counting on you not coming. Not us. We're counting on you to come. Because you need to and because we want to. We don't just want your money. We care about your life, your calling, your future. We care about what you bring to this body. We can't be all we're called to be if you're not here, not serving together, not apart, not in unity. Yes. Commit. In a non-committal world, commit. Yes. Say yes to Jesus and come to church. I mean, I'm preaching to the choir here. You're here, church. All you watching online, okay? If you're able, come to church. And we're glad you're online. Don't be offended, okay? Keep showing up. That's a supplement. There are some that can't come because of health reasons. And we come to them. And we're glad you're there. And there's some that are just tasting and seeing first. And that's okay. But you can't forsake the assembly of coming together. Commit. Especially as the day is approaching. You know, most people in my experience that fall away from Jesus, stop coming to church, it's because doubts just keep growing. The doubt of, I don't really need to do that to follow Jesus, or I'm okay. No, you're not okay. It's time to start doubting those things you should doubt. And let me encourage you, start doubting your doubts. Start doubting your doubts. Especially when they don't line up with the Word of God. You know, there are times that devil will bring a thought that would bring all kinds of doubts. I'm like, not today, devil. No, I doubt it. I doubt it, devil. I tell the devil, I doubt you. I doubt your lies. I doubt your lies. You're a liar. You can't even tell the truth. So I doubt it. I doubt that's going to happen. Do you know that 95% of your doubts and fears never come true? 95%! Like, just doubt those things and you'll be 95% right all the time. Hello! I mean, you should have confidence in doubting your doubts. Because 95% of the time, they don't even happen. Wow. Okay, Romans 12:2. And do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you will prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Commit your mind to God. Okay? Colossians 3:23. And whatever you do, do it with all your heart. Do it heartily, as the Lord, unto the Lord, and not to men. Okay? Commit it. Commit your heart to Him. Okay, Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Listen to this quote from Abraham Lincoln. Commitment is what transforms a promise into reality. Let me say it again. Commitment is what transforms a promise into reality. Listen, all of the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11 and in the Bible, they trusted God, they were committed, and they obeyed. And they had doubts, many of them. But when you commit to God, when you commit your heart to Him, now you've just released the power to bring the promise into reality. Because the promises of God are like seeds. And unless you die, and the commitment is to die to yourself, and a seed goes into the ground, you will never see that reality of what that seed can produce. Edwin Cole, incredible men's ministry, said this: true commitment is demonstrated by the consistent action in the face of adversity. It's the consistent action in the face of adversity. Number three, obey. Obey. Turn to your neighbor. Tell him, obey. You don't like that, do you? That word stirs stuff up in some of you. Me just saying, obey. Because the devil, he's afraid of your obedience. He is afraid of your obedience. And this is why he wants you to be afraid to obey. He wants you to be afraid to obey. He wants you to have a negative thought when it comes to obeying. But obeying brings reward. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commands. James 1:22. But be a doer of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. John 14:21. And he who has my commands and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Charles Stanley just went to be with the Lord, and he has a quote on obedience, and it's this: obedience is the key to real faith. See, even the demons believe and tremble. Faith is not belief. Faith is trust, commitment, and obedience. That's what biblical faith is. This is why James says, faith without works is dead. Faith is, I trust you, God. I'm committed to you, God, and I will obey you, God. This is the only way through doubt. It's your faith. And that's what real faith looks like, church. See, faith isn't the absence of doubt. Faith is the means to push through it. Let me say it again. You should write it down. You should put it on your Instagram account. You should post this because it's powerful. Faith isn't the absence of doubt. Faith is the means of pushing through it. In fact, as I said earlier, you can't and don't need real faith without doubts. Without there being any doubt, you don't need it. And you need faith to please God, which means what? There's got to be doubts hanging around. There's got to be doubts hanging around. This should liberate many of you. Oh yeah, I got doubts, but I still trust God. I'm still committed to Him, and I'm going to obey Him. You have no doubts, Pastor Mike? Oh, you have no idea. You have no idea. The fire hydrant of doubts that could be busting out of me right now. All the things that I've got going on, if God don't come through, we're in trouble. Yeah, we, because you're with me, okay? We're in this together. The strongest faith isn't a faith that never doubts. The strongest faith is a faith that grows through your doubts. It grows through your doubts. Again, man, today I'm waking up and I'm doing some dumbbell presses with my doubts. I'm doing a workout with them by faith, and I'm getting stronger. I'm maturing. Now I'm going to close. Really close. Last verse. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. Now, by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commands. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. If he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Come on. Let me take it out of context. You're supposed to walk in the morning and at night and after every big meal. No, but what we are to do is to walk by faith. And the only way you know that you actually know God, the only way you know you're a Christian, that you have genuine faith, is you trust him, you're committed to him, and you obey him. If you say you're a Christ follower and you're not following Christ, you're a liar. Okay, I'm not calling you a liar. The Bible is. And here's the good news. You no longer have to lie. You can repent, believe, and start following Jesus. I mean, you're already calling yourself a Christian. Now actually become one. Trust him. Get committed. And start obeying. And the doubts in your life will make you stronger.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.